Well, it's been a long day for some of you, and you made it back. And thank you for coming back. Thank you for hosting my family this week. I want to say they're not much, but they're the world to me. And so thank you for treating them like the world and not the much. Admiral, might have been an extra syllable there, but when Lord Nelson was fighting the British, he defeated them at the Battle of the Nile, and that was, in fact, one of the great victories in naval history. And he wrote back to the British high command about his victory over the French, pardon me. And in describing this great victory over the French, he said, the word victory isn't really big enough. I don't know what to call it, but the word victory isn't big enough to describe what happened at the Battle of the Nile. And I heard those words, and they seem to echo what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, which I'd like to draw your attention to tonight, because Paul is writing about the Christian life, and this is what he says. He says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In other words, Paul's talking about this life that we're called to live. And he said, you know what? The only way that I can explain what my Christian experience has been like is that we are more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Conquer is not big enough. Victory isn't big enough. But we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Now, I just want you to dwell on the magnitude of that statement for a few minutes. More than conquerors. He's saying that the Christian life is not about barely slipping by. In other words, he's saying we're not going to win by a point in overtime. That's not what the Christian life is about. He says, even now, and he's talking about himself, he says, I am more than a conqueror. We are more than conquerors. You know, there's a type of thought in the church that goes like this, that we're going to win. I mean, we've read the final chapter, and we're going to win, but it's going to be close. I mean, it's not going to be a blowout. Satan's going to pummel us. He's going to get us beat down. Maybe it looks like we're about to lose, and then Jesus Christ comes back, and then we have victory, but it's going to be really close. But again, here's Paul saying even now, I am more than a conqueror. Even now, I'm winning by 5 touchdowns. It's not even close for me. I'm more than a conqueror. Imagine, again, I mean, look at who's saying it. I mean, here's Paul. We know a bit of the history of Paul. Look at his luggage. Look at the stamps on his passport. He'd been everywhere, and he'd been run out of everywhere. I mean, he had been to Damascus. He'd been to Athens. He had been, before that, to Tarsus. He'd been to Lystra. He'd been to Derbe. He'd been to Iconium. Been run out of those places. Even before that, he had been run out of Antioch. He'd been to Corinth. He'd been to Thessalonica. He had been to so many places, and in so many of those places, it had not gone well. Someone said he had served about 18 years of the 30 years or so that we have of his missionary endeavors. 18 years of that was in prison, and it wasn't the comfortable prisons that we have today. It was prison in every sense of the word. Friends, he'd made a few. Family, we don't hear of any family. By his own admission, he was not married. He did not have children. Beaten, yes, several times. One shipwreck. I mean, it had been this life of one conflict after another, turned on by friends, accused by enemies. And yet Paul is saying, I know what it looks like on paper. I know about the prison record. You've heard about the beatings. You've heard about the lashings. You've heard about the floggings. But even at that, I am more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Verse 35 of Romans chapter 8, he named seven issues that he had conquered. He said in tribulation means pressure. He said there had been pressures. He was at that point under pressure. He said in distress, pressures in distress. Distress is actually, it means to be squeezed on both sides. It's between a rock and a hard place he had been. He had felt what it was like to be squeezed coming and going in distresses, in persecutions, in famine. He had known what it was like not to eat well, in nakedness. He knew what it was like to only have the clothes on his back, nothing more, in perils. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, he names eight perils that he had faced, and one was shipwreck. He had been accused by the brethren, by Christians who had attacked him. He'd been accused by the Gentiles. He had been ambushed by robbers, in perils. And then finally, by the sword. And I think that he's speaking of those who had sought to take his life. But he says in all of that, in tribulations and distress and perils and famines and in nakedness, by threat of the sword, he said, I am more than a conqueror. He said, how can that be, Paul? How can you claim you are more than a conqueror? I mean, he reminds us of that quarterback we've had to put up with in Carolina for all these years, Cam Newton. I mean, it doesn't matter how bad they're losing. They can be down 35-0. He scores a touchdown, it's 35-7, and he's acting like Superman. And you want to say, just shut up. I mean, you're down by four touchdowns. You're not winning. You're acting like you're winning. You're not winning. You want to say that to Paul. Paul, you're acting like you're winning in life. You're not winning. You have nothing. You don't have anything, Paul. You're not more than the conqueror. And Paul says, no. I'm more than a conqueror, and you can be more than a conqueror like me. Now, what is Paul speaking about? And I think it's clear what he's not speaking about. He isn't saying that he is more than a conqueror, that the Christian life can be a life of more than conqueror because you never face troubles, because he had them. So he's not saying my life is more than conquering. My Christian experience is more than being just a conqueror. I'm a super conqueror because I don't have to face difficulty in my life. I don't have to struggle in ways that other people have to struggle. He's not talking about a health and wealth doctrine here. He's not saying, I'm more than a conqueror because I'm a child of the King, and because I'm a child of the King, I'm always blessed. I always have enough. I always have everything that I need. People come up against me sometimes, but I always defeat them. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that there is an absence of issues in his life. And again, he's not saying that he was always excelling against those issues. And Paul isn't saying, you know, I'm more than a conqueror because there are times that I found myself between this rock and this hard place, and I prayed and I gave it to the Lord, and he removed the rock or the hard place and delivered me in that situation. No, those prison doors locked behind him, and there wasn't at times deliverance in his life. He's not saying, well, I'm more than a conqueror because people were trying to kill me, and then I prayed and the Lord moved on their heart, and they loved me and embraced me, and instead of trying to kill me, they supported me. Sometimes that did happen, by the way, but that wasn't the way it always happened. Sometimes they just wanted to kill him. He's not saying, well, I'm more than a conqueror because there were times when I was on a boat and the waves were high and I prayed, and the Lord calmed the storm, and the boat went into the harbor, and I didn't have to face the difficulty of a shipwreck. That's what he's saying. There were times when he was in the water. He's not saying, well, I was more than a conqueror because there were times when I was sick, or times when I was ill, or times when there was difficulty, and the Lord always delivered me immediately. That's not the case, I think. And I would point out the thorn in the flesh, although there's great debate. Some think that was a physical illness, but others of equal intellect say that wasn't a physical illness, and there may be room for debate, and if you want to fight about it, I won't fight with you. You're right, I'm wrong. I will leave it at that. But some people think he had epilepsy, and some think that there was poor vision in Paul's life, and others think it was the Corinthian church, by the way. That was a thorn in the flesh. But whatever it was, he didn't get delivered from it. It stayed a thorn in his life. It wasn't removed. And so Paul isn't saying, I am more than a conqueror, because in my prayer or in my Holy Spirit leading, the problem was dismissed from my life. He's not saying that I always face my problems with a song in my heart. Sometimes he did. And there isn't a better passage in the Bible than when he and Paul and Silas were in the jail and they were singing at midnight and they were delivered. It didn't always happen that way. Paul wasn't always rejoicing. There were times when he had great stress put upon him and he bore the burden, but he didn't bear it with the joy of that jail cell. So Paul isn't saying I was more than a conqueror in that I didn't face problems, or that I was always delivered from my problems, or that I always was able to sustain my problems with this wonderful Christian attitude. And by the way, I'm including this sermon in this series of Twisted because I think that's oftentimes what people think that that passage means. When we say we're more than conquerors, we think that it means that we have this great spiritual awakening, this great spiritual deliverance always. And that's not what Paul is getting at here. Rather, what Paul is getting at comes to us in verse 35 and verse 38. The context is that he is saying that he is more than a conqueror in that whatever he faced, whatever situation he was at, whatever tribulation, whatever peril, whatever danger, it did not separate him from the love of God. He did not allow that to happen. And in that way, he defeated that situation in his life. It was not able to remove him from his commitment and from love to God. See verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ Jesus? That's the question. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword? That's the issue. None of these things can separate you from the presence, from the love of God. And then verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And that forms the bookends of this passage, because verse 37 says, in this way, we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Again, what Paul is saying is, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not a conqueror. I am a super conqueror, because wherever I was at, whatever jail I was in, whoever was opposed to me, whatever I was suffering, those things could not separate me from my relationship with Jesus Christ. Those things kept me secure in the love of Christ. In spite of whatever was going on, I was secure in Christ. Now, let me just say something, because I'm in the neighborhood. Notice what Paul does not say. Paul does not include sin on that list. I just want to point that out passing through here. It's not the major point, but I just want to point that out. Paul isn't like many Christian teachers today where they say persecution, tribulation, trouble, financial difficulties, and sin can't separate you. Paul doesn't confuse that. I mean, Paul will talk about the deeds of the flesh, which will separate you by the deeds of the flesh, and those are all the sins. You'll die if you follow those. But when he says these things won't separate you, he's talking about outward struggles. Sin can separate you, and so he never includes it on the sin on that list. He is more specific than sometimes we are in our speech. But having said that, all of these things, all the outward oppressions, all the physical afflictions, the suffering, the difficulty in life that may come up on you, you can be sure that those things can't separate you from Jesus Christ and the love that he brings into your life. There was an Old Testament teacher named Bruce Waltke. Bruce Waltke has written a lot of commentaries, and some of you may have one of those commentaries, but he was in Turkey many years ago, and he was teaching, in fact, the book of Revelation. And he was at a diner with his guide, who was a Muslim gentleman, and this guide had spent several weeks with Bruce Waltke, showing him throughout the country and making sure that his needs were supplied. And they were sitting there, and it was one of the last nights before Bruce Waltke was to come to the United States. And they had talked about the difference in Christianity and Islam, and this was, again, a Muslim. And so they had discussions, and this is one of the last nights, and Bruce Waltke and him are really getting down to what Christianity is about. And he saw an opportunity. And to this Muslim guide, this Muslim gentleman, he said, you know, we've been talking and you've asked a lot of honest questions. I wouldn't be faithful to Jesus Christ if I just didn't ask you, would you want to become a Christian? Would you want to serve God? Would you want to embrace Jesus Christ as your Savior? And this Muslim gentleman looked at him and he said, you don't know what you're asking me to do. You have no idea what you just asked me to do. He said, if I were to embrace Jesus Christ here in Turkey, he said, two things would happen immediately. He said, my family would disown me and my boss would fire me. He said, that would happen immediately. I would have to give up my family and I would have to give up my job immediately. And he said, and I could not come to America so quickly. He said, because not only would I lose my job and my family, he said, they would also revoke my passport. So I couldn't leave the country. And he said, I would essentially starve to death in my hometown. He said, now that's what you're asking me to do. And Bruce Waltke thought about the vastness of that offer and in comparison to how easy it was to be a Christian in America. And he was taken back by that. But then he said, but you know, I understand what I'm asking you to do. But throughout the world today, millions of people are doing what I'm asking you to do. And that's true. That's true. Throughout this world today, there are many millions of Christians in foreign lands who, in spite of tribulation, who, in spite of distress, in spite of persecution and famine and nakedness and perils of all sorts, in spite of even the sword pointed at them, they have not allowed any of those things to separate them from the love of Jesus Christ. Their commitment to him has remained steadfast. It's an amazing thing, and that can be true for you, that can be true for me. There is nothing, there is no power on earth that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. And because there is no power, what Paul is saying is that we can be more than conquerors, because the end result of all of those things is it can make your relationship with Jesus Christ even stronger. Now, what was Paul's secret? What was Paul's secret? Paul, how were you able to do it? It's an interesting passage, and I just want to point it out to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because Paul addresses that situation. In all of these situations, he says, you can be more than a conqueror. Why? Because in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians, he says, for the love of Christ compels us. Because we judged thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, and that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. I want you to listen to the flow again. He said, listen, tribulations, distress, sorrows, griefs, whatever comes upon me, I am compelled to stand firm, to be resolute because of the love of Jesus Christ towards me. because he died for me. At Calvary, he gave his life for me. He surrendered it all. He fought through Gethsemane, and he lived for me. And out of love, he did that for me. In his tribulation, in his peril, in his difficulty, when the sword was pointed at him, he was compelled by love for me, and he gave his life for me. And because of his sacrifice for me, for his love that was displayed in his sacrifice, I am compelled to love him in return to the very end. That's what Paul's saying. And let me put some feet on that. I was talking to a woman a few weeks ago, and she was telling me how difficult her job was. And she had a terrible employee, and she was really verbally abusive to her. And it was just a terrible place to work, and she didn't feel like she could quit her job. She had to have the money, but every day she had to take verbal abuse from this woman. And that's a terrible way to live, by the way. But you know what I think Paul would say? He would say, listen, even though you have to go into that situation, which is a difficult situation, that is persecution, that is distress, that is tribulation in your life, that ought not separate you from Jesus Christ. Because listen, when Jesus Christ carried the cross up Golgotha, they spit on him too. They cursed him too. They put a spear in his side. And yet love compelled him to stay on the cross for you. And because he stayed on the cross for you, you can stay on this cross for him. He loved you. Now you love him in return. Be more than a conqueror in that situation. You say, well, you know, people take advantage of me. I mean, they really do. And it's persecution. It's tribulation. People use me. They take advantage of me. I do things for people, and I give, and I get nothing in return. And I've got to tell you, it's making me bitter. It really is. I mean, it's really starting to separate me from Christ. I come to church, and I'm angry, and there's this division that's separating me from Jesus Christ. But you know what I think Paul would say? He would say, listen, Jesus Christ went through all that on the cross for you. I think it was Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher, who was talking about giving to people. And he went through all the reasons why we don't give to people. And he said, all those things apply to us. He said, for instance, someone could have said of Jesus Christ on the cross, you know what? If you die for them, they'll misuse it. He said, but haven't we misused the cross? He said, so many people just disregard the cross. He said, some people will say, you know what? You don't give to people because they don't deserve it. They don't deserve your attention. He said, but we didn't deserve the cross, did we? He said, some people would say, you know what? If you give to them, they won't be grateful. They're never going to say thank you. He said, but haven't we been terribly ungrateful in our lives for what Jesus Christ did on the cross? See, Jesus Christ went to the cross in spite of our ingratitude, in spite of the fact, listen, the Bible says he died for us while we were yet sinners. While we were yet aware of the price he was paying for us, he died for us. And listen to me, because he loved us in spite of all the ingratitude, in spite of all the suffering, listen to me, you can love him too. That love can compel you to love others and to not allow that difficulty to get in the way of serving Christ. It can do that in your life. You say, well, I've got these financial difficulties. I mean, it's getting tough financially for me. And I got to admit that that's getting in the way of my service to Christ. It's tough. And sometimes I don't understand why Jesus doesn't just bless me in this financial difficulty. I mean, it's really starting to make me question whether Jesus really loves me. There's a place in 2 Chronicles chapter 8, where Paul's writing and he says, listen, and he's telling the people to be generous and to give and to really do all that they can for others financially. And then in verse 9, he says, listen, I'm telling you to give. I'm telling you to do all of this. I'm telling you to be generous with your finances. But listen, I don't have to tell you about the generosity of Jesus Christ, do I? Because he gave up heaven. He was rich and he became poor for our sakes. And so I don't have to tell you that you ought to be generous to other people, do I? I mean, think about that. Jesus became poor. He became dirt poor for you and I. On the cross, he had nothing left. He had even been stripped of his clothing. He became naked for you because he loved you, because he cared about you. I think what Paul would say is, listen, that ought to compel you, even when things are financially difficult, even when things are bare. Jesus Christ remained faithful to you in spite of giving up all of heaven. Now, if it cost you something here on earth to be faithful to him, so be it. But he loved you in his poverty. You love him in your poverty. You say, well, I have physical pain. You know how hard it is to suffer. You have no idea how hard it is to live with a body that's failing you. I mean, psychiatrists even talk, and they talk about that breaking point where if you've been sick for 6 to 8 weeks, not only are you sick, but you get sick and tired of being sick. And there's a breaking point, and you hit the wall, and you may say, you know, it's undermining my faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm sick. And I'm sick and tired of being sick. And it seems that those Jesus doesn't love me. It seems as though he doesn't care about me. Other people seem to be getting healed. It doesn't seem to be happening for me. I don't understand it. Makes me not want to go to church. But listen, Jesus Christ was beaten. He had a spear through his ribs. He hung on the cross and died for you. In his physical pain, he loved you. He was compelled by love for you to endure that physical pain. So even in your physical pain, as shallow as this may sound when you're there, in your physical pain, you ought to be compelled by love to remain faithful to him. In his pain, he was faithful to you. In your pain, his love for you ought to compel you to remain faithful. Now, again, that's easy for me to say because I'm well tonight, as far as I know. I don't know. I may be eaten up with cancer. I don't know. None of us know. And that's easy for me to say, but at least the principle in Scripture is there. You may say you don't understand about my marriage. I mean, I give and I give and I give, and I never receive in my marriage. I mean, things are getting stressed. You don't know how hard it is to serve God in a bad marriage. And you're right, I don't. But I can't imagine there's any more difficult place to serve God than in a bad marriage. It just makes everything complicated. You know what? Jesus Christ was long-suffering to us to the end. Jesus Christ gave and gave, and he gave his blood and he gave his sweat. He was compelled by love to go the distance for us. Love compelled him to do it. He died for us again when we were yet sinners. And I'm not saying there aren't grounds for divorce. Don't read that. But there ought to be grounds for long suffering in our relationships, because he, through love, was long suffering to us. And because of his love for us, we can be long-suffering for his sake. See, what Paul is saying is, listen, in everything, I was more than a conqueror. I did not allow any of those things to separate me from Jesus Christ. I stayed in his love. I was in his presence. I remained tied tightly to him because his love for me compelled me to not be separated. And because he loved me so much to the end, and that was demonstrated on the cross, I am compelled by that, and I love him. and I don't allow my tribulation or my distress or my perils to separate me from love, from my love to him, because he didn't allow his tribulation to separate me, him from me. It was a mouthful, wasn't it? It's late. You get that. Maybe tonight you're going through something, and I'm closing, and why don't you stand? We'll sing together. Maybe you're going through something, and you can feel it pulling you away from God. Maybe you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it's getting in between you and Jesus Christ. You can be more than a conqueror. And the way that you're more than a conqueror is you don't allow that thing to separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. There is power from heaven for you. If anything is getting in between you and God, there's power. You ought to be more than a conqueror because of what Christ Jesus has done for you. There is power to bring you back into that relationship, into that fullness with your Father. See, listen, I'm finished here. But the prodigal son was loved by the father. Prodigal son was loved as much by the father in the far country as he was at home. But in the far country, the son was not in the love of the father. He wasn't experiencing it. He wasn't feeling it. And what the Christian life is about is just not knowing that God loves us, but feeling the love. Being embraced by the love. And you can allow these things in your life to move you away from Jesus Christ, where you know he loves you. Because these things are creating bitterness and faithlessness and disappointment, you're not feeling the love of Jesus Christ. You're not in the love. Oh, you know he loves you, but you don't feel it. Paul says we are more than conquerors. Because whatever we face, we can defeat that, and we can always be in the love of Jesus Christ. Defeat that thing in your life today that's pulling you away. Defeat it. Defeat it. By the power of Jesus Christ, defeat it. Get back in the love of Jesus Christ. Let him surround you tonight. Let's sing together.